right. Continue to pray for Jim Holloman. He was taken to the hospital last night. Thought he had some heart problem, but they said, no, he's okay. So, and pray for all these folks that are sick and having a hard time. Take your Bible, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Hope that fuzzing will go down. I'm listening. Amen. Last Sunday, I stated there are five different words in the Bible that give us a basic for a Christian life. We spoke about last week about knowledge, and today we'll speak about faith, love, obedience, and perseverance. But if you can understand these five words, you can actually be a champion for the cause of Jesus Christ. All of us like to be winners. I've noticed, I was watching, I was listening to these high school basketball games. Man, I'll tell you what, they're powerful, you know. And these guys going out there and just giving everything they got, amen. And trying as hard as they can to be the winner, amen. Unfortunately, in one game, there's only one winner. And I heard a guy says, yeah, I said, I want to be a winner. I don't want to be the second and be a loser. Amen. So, but you think of all the time they put in. My sister-in-law, she wrote to me yesterday, and she says, they did it again. My nieces, I have a couple of nieces on a basketball game, a basketball team, Calvary Baptist, and they won the third straight championship in basketball. Yesterday, and they're all pumped up. And my one cousin, my one niece, she is only 10th grader. She made 19 points in the big game. And I said, good night. I said, they better look out for her, amen. But exciting that people really, they really want to be winners. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be a loser. I used to play football and baseball, and boy, it was a wonderful trip on the bus coming home when you were winners. But boy, coming home on that bus, you didn't win. It was pretty quiet. Monday morning wasn't too happy either, amen. The coach seemed like he was going to take it out on us, amen. But anyway, we all want to be champions. And to be a champion is to want to have knowledge of God. You need to know how it all works. You need to know that God loves you. Have that knowledge. And we many times do not have the knowledge that we could have if we'd only study the Word of God. If we put our iPad down or iPhone down or whatever you got, amen, and put it down for a little bit and be more concerned about the Word of God than Facebook, we'd have a lot more to, dear, I just seen some people put their head down. Well, you're reading it, amen. You've seen what people said. But anyway, we need to spend more time in the Word of God. We need to know God. Oh, that I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection, the Bible says. So we have this knowledge, this basic. There's a basic thing. It's kind of like when you're doing things. You got to know, have kind of a basic things that are going on, and you to know how to approach some things. Sometimes we don't have that knowledge. And thank God for I call it Sherry. They say it's Sarai or whatever they call it. You push the button in it, and you ask the question. I'm always pushing the button and say, how do you spell this? Amen. But how do you clean a fish? How do you, you know, you just push the button. It'll tell you. I mean, it tells you, shows you videos of it, you know, and boy, it's a wonderful thing. Well, you're getting knowledge. You're getting understanding how you work things. So as a Christian, we need a lot of knowledge. Knowledge of Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says, that I may know Him, that I may be fully acquainted with His nature, by His character, by His work. We ought to know the knowledge of salvation, and which He has worked out for us. And it should be that we may the most highest object and desire of our life to know more about God. And it's so important. So that's number one. You ought to have some knowledge of it. And as I told you last week, when I was redshirted in college football, I went to coach, and the coach gave the first thing he gave me the rule book. He says, "You know that rule book?"
And he said, you'll be a winner. He said, you need to know how to use the rule book. And I tell you today, there's your rule book right here, the Word of God, the precious Word of God. You take that Word of God, you read it, and you study it, and you glean from it. And secondly, I think the second basic is faith. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Romans tells us that. You can't have much faith unless you know the Word of God. You can't have much faith. There's that word again, no. You got to have faith in the Word of God. Romans chapter 1, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope in the glory of God. If you do not have this faith, if you do not have this faith, you cannot rejoice. I don't know about you, but life is tough. Life is really tough. Life puts some things into our life that we just don't think we're going to have. Boy, I tell you what, this morning was really interesting at my house, and I make a mixture of cranberry grape juice into Marcia has to take a filler or whatever you call it, and fiber, and it is the stickiest, most messiest stuff you ever make. And this morning, trying to get her going, everything was kind of incredible. And I went and put that on there, and wouldn't you know, that glass spilled all over. I said, Lord, why? I whined. I did. I was whining. You know, oh my goodness. And you know, I did thing after thing after thing. I said, why? I don't need this right now, okay? I know none of you have this problem. Your kids are always ready to go to church. You know, they never spill anything on them. They're not chasing off here and going through there. It's just perfect, isn't it? Isn't it? No? Yeah, no, it's not. And it's the things that go on in life. And I thought to myself, first of all, it wasn't the Lord's fault that I spilled that. It was my stupidity and my fumblingness that bumped it over, you know. But I'm going to tell you something, it's a mess. And I try to clean that, and, by faith, we have to trust the Lord that we know what's going on, and that the Lord knows what's going on. And sometimes we just have to raise our hand and say, Lord, I try my best. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. It's just the way it goes. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As I read the Word of God, all things work together for good to them, love God, them, and called according to His purpose. And I'm saying, what good is this going to get out of this thing? Amen. I know you don't have that problem. I know you're just perfect. Everything's going good in your life. You're never sick. You never got a cold. You never get a ticket. You never have a flat tire. Your car doesn't ever stop. You know, doesn't start. You know, I mean, you just, life is good, right? Yeah. Life is good. We have an Heavenly Father that knows us. He knows our heart. And He knows our frustrations of life. He knows what's going on in my heart and my life. He knows the things that I cannot fix. And God knows the things that you can't fix in your life. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. And we all fall under the category of being mortals. All of us are mortals. All of us someday are going to go to heaven if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And all the troubles and all the sorrows and all the things of the world. You know, I heard somebody tell me, he said, I got a list of things I'm going to ask God when I get to heaven. First of all, why, God, did you give me this wife? So he said. And I told him, I said, well, you heard about the guy that died and went to heaven. And when he got to heaven, the Lord says, now, here's this lady here, and she's very beautiful. And she's going to take you all over heaven and show you. He said, wow. How do I get this? He says, because how she acted when she was on earth. But anyway, sometimes things happen in our lives and we don't know which way to turn. Can I tell you that you're looking at a man that doesn't know where to turn sometimes? I don't know what to say sometimes. I don't know how to act the way I should act sometimes. But I know one who does. And it is the Holy Spirit that comes and lives within us and encourages us and keeps us going and keeps us from quitting and keeps us from giving up. You know, we look at our lives and we see these things that are going on. Oh, which way to turn? But there's a God that loves us, and that's where we get that first basic of knowledge. The second basic is faith. Faith is not something that's just kind of... It's faith that is trusted. We have seen the hand of God before. We have seen Him take care of things that have happened in our lives, and we know that all things work together for good. We know that He knows. We know that He makes no mistakes when He's placing these burdens and placing these things in our lives, that we are to become greater soldiers of Jesus Christ. When I was playing football in college, and well, even in high school, boy, the first 3 weeks, things really hurt. You know, you'd run into things, and you'd be all bruised up and banged up, don't know which way to turn. And you didn't know which way to turn. I mean, it's just the craziest thing you've ever seen. But after about 3 weeks of that intense training and that working out, and some of you basketball players know about that, how you run and run and run, finally you start getting that second win. And boy, I tell you, the first week you thought you were going to die, and that coach keeps doing them, you know, from up to the free throw line, back and back and back to the center line and back and the free throw line, back and forth and back and forth. And you say, man, he's trying to kill me. But he's trying to get you in shape. And sometimes in our lives, we have to, by faith, trust the Lord Jesus in this to say, dear God, I don't understand what's happening to me. I've never been down this trail before. I've never been down this road before. And I don't know how I'm going to go this thing. And God said, I want you to know that you are not going alone. I'm going to be with you. Sometimes in life, we have to cry out to Him and say, Lord, I don't know if I can take this or not. But by faith, I know that you exist. You have proven yourself to me so many times. What does He say over in Rome, in Hebrews chapter 11? Take your Bible there. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance. What is substance? What substance? It's substance. It's something there. You know, this is the substance. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. We have seen God do so many things in our heart and our life. It's just the problem is, many of us are very forgetful people. We forget that God knows exactly what's going on in our hearts and lives. We forget the times that when we didn't know which way to turn, God supplied those needs. We forget the times when our child was sick that God raised that child up. We forget the times when we were sick that God raised us up. We forget the time we begged God to get us through something and He got us through it. Just, you know, one man said, God is never in a hurry, but He's always on time. Amen. You know, I want to be thinking, you know, what's going on happen next year or next year, next year. I'm be planning, you know. Unless the funny thing, I brought that April calendar here, man. I'm planning. I mean, you know, I'm trying to get everything ready to go because I know this summer is going to be crazy. I'm trying to get all that stuff done, get those things going, and ought to be planning, ought to be looking ahead. But you know, the Lord wants us to trust Him day by day. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. This day. Not tomorrow. Give us this day our daily bread. Help me get through today. The Bible said there's so much evil in today, you don't need to know evil tomorrow. There's enough stuff going on today. I don't know what need to do. I don't know. I have to worry about things tomorrow. When people come up and say, hey, you know, I want to talk to you next week. And you're going like, you know. And all of a sudden, what does that old thing in our brain do? you know, because we want to know. Someone says, hey, you know what you got for your birthday? Don't say that to me. I want to know right now. Come on now. I want to know exactly what's happening today. I want to tomorrow. I want to know exactly today. Isn't that amazing in life? I just want to know what's going on today. Because tomorrow, I don't know if I can handle it today. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. And then look at the next word. The evidence of things not seen. We know. We know that God loves us. That's part of the knowledge that we have. God loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. Those things that are happening in our hearts and our lives, we don't know which way to turn, which way to go, right? Well, He knows. It's evidence. There's something that shows us. For by it the elders obtain good report. Why? They did what they're supposed to do. And then they give a whole list of those things. So, faith is a simple belief in the Scriptures. I have faith. It doesn't take a lot of faith to believe. It just takes a little bit of faith. Believing that in His being. It's believing in His perfection. It's believing in His existence. It's believing in His character and the doctrines or teachings of Christ, which, may I add, can only be found in the testimony of the sacred writings, the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The other day I was looking for something. And I was looking for something. I could not find. You know, I have these wonderful people come to my house. I call them my little elves. And they put things where I don't figure they should be put. Where I, you know, my mind and Devin's mind is completely different. She thinks that you ought to put stuff here, and I think they ought to be put there. And I thank God for Devin. I don't know what I'd do without her. I mean, she comes Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday and helps me and does everything around the house. I appreciate it very much. But the other day, I was looking for them. I could not find that thing. I searched diligently. Never did find it. Until I was someplace else in the house and opened up, there it was. I thought, what is it doing here? It doesn't belong here. It belongs up there, you know. Come find out, I was the one that put it. Devin did not put it. So we diligently, he said, hey, these are things we diligently seek Him. Lord, I don't understand this. I don't know which way we're supposed to go on this thing. How am I supposed to pay this? How am I supposed to do that? God said, you diligently search for me, and you will find me. Knock, and you shall open. Seek, and you shall find. Now, we diligent. That's by faith. The more we reckon on Him, the more we please Him. God does not require heroic deeds. He does not require polished speeches. All He asks is that we live our lives as those. Listen now, don't miss this. This is a basic, that count on Him. That's all He asks, that we would live a life that counts on Him. Lord, I'm just counting on You on this thing. Lord, I don't want You to go on this thing. Lord, I'm just counting on You. I know that You're there. I'm counting on You. Donald Hankey, who was not always conventional in his thoughts, said this: religion is betting your life there is a God. Religion is betting your life there is a God. Now, it's it's kind of crude, but you think of that. I am placing my life on Him. Now, of course, we don't have to do that because what does He say? What does the Bible say? He's there. He is true. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's not betting my life that God is there. It's knowing. All God wants us to do, us puny little Christians, a little speck of dust in this earth. He says, I just want you to know. All I want to know is that you just trust in me. No, nothing heroic, nothing huge, nothing, no grandstand about it. Just, I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to serve it. I know that he lives. Here's the principle of faith. Always act in the certainty of God. And in the certainty that he will never mock our search for him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk not by faith, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk in a certainty and knowing that he will not mock us when we're looking for him. Romans chapter 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and his mouth with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Faith of the gospel and faith in the gospel, in that emotion of the mind which we call our understanding, as trust and confidence. You see, one of the basics is to have confidence in God. And that's called faith. I know. He will not leave me stranded. He will not leave me alone. If God takes me home today, that was his plan in life. If God takes you home today, that's God's plan in life. If God takes one of your loved ones to home, that's your plan. That's his plan of life for you. I'm not here for myself. I'm for him. I'm here because he wants me here, and he wants me to bring glory and adoration to him. Faith of the gospel and faith in the gospel is that emotion of the mind which we call or understand our trust and confidence. It is that which we exercise towards a moral character of God, and particularly at the Savior, of the Savior. Faith is an affectionate, practical confidence in the testimony of God. Faith is firm. Cordial belief is veracity or accuracy of the truth, the authenticity of God, and the integrity of God. I trust God. He has not messed with me. He will not mess with me. He loves me no matter what. And he loves me when I fail. And he loves me when I do not do what I should be doing. And he still loves me no matter what. That's the magnificence of God. Of course, he will certainly demand service. And he demands me living right with him. But many times we just forget. You know what? This life of Christianity is not complicated. It's living by faith. Faith is a firm, cordial belief in God. Why? Because he declared them. Therefore, it justifies what our saving faith is. He gives the knowledge to our mind, the truth of divine revelation, of the authority of God's testimony, accomplished with the cordial concurrence of the will accepted in the heart. It gives believers the entire confidence or complete trust in God's character. For Jesus Christ, our Savior, has declared in the character and his doctrine or teaching of Christ the unreserved surrendering of the will of his guidance. Therefore, we have this dependence on his merits of salvation. Without faith, you can't please him. By faith, he loves you and cares for you. In other words, the firm belief of God's testimony and the truth of the gospel, which influences our will, leads us to the entire reliance of Christ for our salvation. The Apostle Paul wrote there, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, just as if I never sinned, we're justified by faith, we have peace with God through... Hey, there are people today that just don't have the peace. They just can't trust God. You know why? Because they don't have the knowledge of God. They don't realize that God said, hey, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Hey, case complete. Case dismissed. God said, if you accept me as your Savior, I will live within your heart. I will be there forever. I'll never leave you nor forsake thee. Faith is used 239 times in the New Testament. 239 times in the New Testament. Faith also means assurance, belief, and to believe and to trust. Faith is the conviction of the truth of anything. Faith is the belief in the New Testament. It is a conviction. Faith is a belief of respecting man's relationship with God. Faith is a belief of divine things. Faith includes the idea, the trust of a holy fervor that was born out of faith to join in it. It is relating to God. It is convincing that God exists as a creator, as a ruler of all things, a provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ. Faith is a thing relating to Christ. The belief that Jesus is the Messiah through whom we obtain mercy and eternal salvation, the kingdom of God, in the human response to an ever increasing understanding of God through faith in Him and a confidence of learning Him. Faith is realizing that He is trustworthy. Don't you like to have someone that's trustworthy? Boy, don't you like to be around people that you just know that they got your back? Don't you like people that just know that, hey, you know, years ago, Harold and I went riding motorcycles down to Fort Clatsick in over Oregon there, and I love to travel with Harold because he's just a trustworthy guy. And all I did just followed him. I didn't know where I was going. Never been in that country before. But man, he just... And every time I heard him go with his motorcycle, I went mine. I just stayed right on him. Amen. Why? Because I trusted his wisdom. I trusted him. You know, you can go a lot of places with somebody who's been there before. You can trust a man who's already been in a certain woods. I remember one time Roy Rouse was taking me hunting, took me over to Helen. I have no idea where it's at. Don't want to go there again. And Roy said, I'll tell you what, I'll meet you back here at 12 o'clock. I said, okay. He disappeared. I don't know where I was going. I didn't have a map. In fact, I was still stupid, didn't even have a compass. We started walking. And I started walking. I went down. I thought, well, I'll just take this trail. I just walked down the trail and kept rocking and crept up. It's 11 o'clock. And I looked around. Nothing looks familiar. I was lost. Everybody ever be lost? I don't like that feeling. I don't like the feeling. So I thought, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a mark right here. So if I'm going around circles, well, I came back. Same place. There's that mark, but I couldn't figure out which way I should have gone. Instead of making an arrow out. So I made an arrow. Next thing I did, I didn't know if I was going this way or that way. What a mess. I hate to be lost. I mean, I just sure nice to know that as a Christian, we're never lost. He loves us. And He takes us through some things that we just, you know what? I didn't enjoy the scenery that day. I didn't enjoy the beautiful creek and the beautiful pines and the beautiful green moss and those great big huge rocks. I didn't enjoy it a bit. I said, oh God, I'm such a wimp. I'm about ready to cry. I'm 50 years old and I'm lost. Lord God, help me! And I turn, and Roy's waving at me. You think I told him I was lost? No way. To this day, I haven't told him. But I'll tell you what, there's a few things in life I learned. And one of them is, don't leave without a compass and make sure you got a map. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you what, let me tell you something. This right here, like the old preacher downside, right here, this thing right here is your compass. It's your road map. And if you learn that wonderful little word named faith, that you trust God in everything He does and says in your life, it'll come out okay. The problem is showing our faith. I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worries is vain. Though tempests may blow and a storm cloud arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'll never alarm at the overcast skies. The Master looks on the strife. I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walk close by my side? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, from all harm safe, in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Hey, I'm telling you, this life many times has a lot to be desired. There's a lot of things that go into our life that we said, what? Are you kidding me? Amen? Is it tough out there? Y'all doing good? Y'all been in the hospital lately? Y'all trying to keep out of the hospital? Life is tough. It's not for wimps. As tough as we get, I'll tell you something. God just reminds me, hey, bud, it's not about you. It's about me. And I'm going to get you through this thing. Living by faith. Troubles and sorrows and heartaches and come. But there's one who never leaves us nor forsakes us. There's one who says, listen, just pray to me. Call upon my name and I'll hear you. And I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not of. You just come on. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Just bring it to me. Lay it at my feet. I heard somebody says, God will never bring anything to you, you can't withstand. Then why does He say, lay it at His feet? There's some things I'm telling you what, I just can't handle. You know that? I'm a pretty tough guy. Used to be. used to. There's things that I can't do. Things I can't withstand. But I'll tell you, there's a God who watches over and cares for this old boy. And He loves me. He loves me. And He's not forgotten me. And when the trials and sorrows come, and the tears come, and the anguish comes, and the problems come, He's there. No matter who leaves you or who forsakes you, He's still there. You're never alone. Never, ever alone. If I can learn the basic of knowledge of knowing Him, and if I can learn the basics of faith, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to make it. We'll make it. Gets pretty dark out there sometimes, doesn't it? Gets kind of crazy out there sometimes. We just don't know which way to turn. But there's a God that says, you listen to me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Knowing the Word of God, if I can get a point in my heart, in my life, that I give it completely over to Him, I'm still going to have troubles and sorrows, because this life is full of it. Job says, troubles and sorrows of this world is like the sparks come off the fire. One old preacher said, I live on the corner of trouble and sorrow. Every time I turn around, there's something. But here, let's ease up on that a little bit and remember the joy of the Lord is our strength. Remember the joy that God gives us. Oh yeah, we go, hey, there's tears in the morning. But, you know, there's tears at night. But the sun comes up in the morning. And I hate to leave you with this fact, thinking that, oh, life is terrible, because it's not. Life is sweet. Life is precious. There's love out there that's just unbelievable. There's happiness and there's joy out there that God has for us. So sometimes it's good for us to think of the troubles and sorrows so that we understand that there's a lot more good than there is bad. A lot more good than bad. And that's good. It's good. We have to look for that. And I hope that you realize that God loves you. First of all, if you're here today and you never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you never see any good about anything. You have no hope of heaven someday. How sad is that? We Christians say, hey, I may go through the troubles, I may go through the sorrows right now, but I know one thing, that there's going to come a day. I'm going to lay my sorrows and troubles down. I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to be with Jesus, and He's going to take care of me, and He's going to give me rest, and He's going to give me hope, and He's going to give me joy, and He will do it here too. If you just trust in Him. Father, I pray today that You'd speak to our hearts. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for all You've given to us. I pray, Lord Jesus, now that You'd just speak to our heart. If there'd be anyone here today and not know You as their Savior, that today would be that day that they would accept You as their Savior. Lord, someday we'll stand before a holy God and answer for what we've done with You. Lord God, first of all, I pray that we would accept You as our Savior. Secondly, I pray, God, You'd help us to live for You and be more like You. And Lord, that we would know You better, and that we would have faith in You and trust You in these pretty rugged days sometimes. Lord, bless this time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'd sure like to know that today. Would you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand? You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you just put your hand up and down? I won't point you out, but I pray for you. God bless you. Someone else. You know what? I don't know. If I die today, I'd go to heaven. Father, I pray You speak to us now, Lord, as we have this time of invitation. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. You're here today and you say, preacher, if I were to die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm going to invite you to step out of that seat, walk down this aisle, take me by the hand and say, preacher, today I need that. I need to be saved. Why don't you come? Well, if you're not saved, and all the troubles and sorrows come in this life, what hope do you have? You have no hope at all. You hear today and you say, preacher, you know, I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? You've been saying, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve at. Why don't you come at this time?
no word about my brother, I'm concerned.
I wouldn't be concerned.